regardless of the debate, it's a very interesting topic. Seems to be more poignant now, Matt, than ever before, with oil hovering at $100 a barrel. Did you ever think it would be that high at this point?
Well, I've been doing this for almost 4 years now. And, I mean, I'm not, to be perfectly honest, no, I'm really not surprised that it's at this price. When I first put the site up almost 4 years ago, it was 35 or so. And, I mean, all you had to do is, you know, do some basic research, and you could see that we are in serious trouble. And, you know, there's a reason Bush and Cheney decided to go into Iraq when they did. And, you know, so it really didn't take... And you really didn't need to be a genius or rocket scientist to see that, you know, oil prices are going to be going through the ceiling.
We're going to follow the program tonight based on your views that there is peak oil, and I'll have you explain that in a moment. But tell us, Matt, again, how did you, an attorney, get interested in this topic?
Well, I had just taken the bar exam and was awaiting my results, and I was putting up a website about the drug war. And the thing is, most people really don't understand how that the narcotics and capital from the narcotics industry is a pillar of the U.S. economy, because drug lords launder their money and into seemingly legitimate forms, and that money finds it into the same investment pools that all of us invest in. And so I was putting up a website trying to explain this, because most people have no idea. They just think that some guy on the street corner, they don't understand how it works into the banking system or everything else. And I came across this site called FromTheWilderness.com, and they had some really great articles on the drug war.
Michael Rupert's website.
Exactly, and he's been on the show before.
Yeah.
And I started reading these articles about oil, something called peak oil, and over the course of about 4 to 6 months, the more I read, the more freaked out I got. And at the time, I didn't want to have to explain the ins and outs, why hydrogen is not going to save our butts, why this abiotic oil thing is basically silliness, again and again and again and again. So I put the site up. I didn't think, you know, I just figured I'd show it to my family and maybe I'd meet a few other people who were as concerned as I was, because back then nobody was talking about this. And next thing I know, I was getting, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 visits a day, and I was getting invited on Coast and, you know, so on and so forth.
And here you are.
Yeah.
Again. Well, look, I'm telling you, you make for a fascinating program, and I'm looking forward to this one as well. This is a subject that a lot of people, Matt, might not know hits home, but it is, because almost every American, every Canadian, everybody listening to this program, truck drivers, everybody is affected by the price of oil. They might not realize it right away, but it's in everything. It's in the plastics you buy. It's in what you pump into your car. It's the diesel in your car or truck. Everybody is affected by this, and I've never come across a single topic other than water and food that is so widespread, used by everybody.
Well, you're right. Energy is the basis of all life. It's the basis of all economic activity. And oil is the densest form of energy that we've ever come across. A single gallon of gasoline, which you can buy for about $3 right now, contains in it, depending on how you do the numbers, the equivalent of between 200 and 500 hours of human labor. A barrel of oil, which has got 42 gallons of oil in it, and which right now sells for almost $100, but historically for much less, that contains the energy equivalent of about 25,000 hours of human labor. Now, you pull that barrel out of the ground in Iraq, it costs about $1 just for the lifting costs. There's, of course, other costs associated with it. So that's basically free energy that we've been using, that we built this magnificent society on in the last 150 years or so. And we use it for everything. Your average piece of food, there's 10 calories of fossil fuel energy for every calorie of food, and that's because all pesticides are petrochemical-based fertilizers. The fertilizers get ammonia from natural gas. Natural gas, by the way, is also peaking. Then, of course, the food is stored in, refrigerators, and those get electricity from coal or natural gas, and so on and so forth. Things like the desktop computer on your desk, that takes 10 times, on average, 10 times its weight in fossil fuels just to construct. Microchips are something like 30 times your weight in fossil fuels to construct. Pretty much everything around you. In fact, I sometimes when I have discussions with friends who are more religious, I say, you know, if anything's the mark of the beast, it would be oil. Because it's the only thing that you cannot, you know, the phrase is you won't be able to buy or sell without using it. The only thing in the modern world that fits that description is either oil or the petrodollar.
We've got you for 3 hours tonight, Matt. My last hour, I've got Jerry Corsi coming back on, who's a believer in the abiotic oil theory, which I want you to touch on a little bit later on as well and get your reaction. But I want to spend some time with you, and then we'll take phone calls later on in this program so people can have an opportunity to chat with you. Peak oil. When you hear the phrase peak oil, what does it mean?
Well, oil production follows a bell curve. The peak of the curve coincides with the point at which the oil, whether it's oil field, an oil region, or the planet as a whole, reaches the 50% mark. Just to illustrate, the U.S. peaked in 1971 and has declined by 2 to 3% per year, every year, since then. And that's despite the fact that even in provinces like Texas, where there really wasn't any resistance from environmentalists, and where they just went on a drilling frenzy in the 1970s, and they threw tons and tons of money at it. They couldn't change the geology, and they declined at a rate of 2 to 3% after that. And so that's the basic idea. Now, if you listen to the big oil companies, they tell you, well, we're not going to peak for another 30 years. These are the same people who threatened M. King Hubbard and pushed him out of the industry back in 1950 when he said the U.S. would peak around 1970. And then you had people from Big Oil and from the USGS issuing reports and memos all the way up until 1975, 4 years after we peaked, that we weren't going to peak for another 100 years, and we had already peaked.
So, Matt, how do we know when we're peaking? How do we know if we've peaked? Well, how do we even know these things, even with a curve?
Well, production, well, you can look, you know, most, the vast majority of the world is already past its peak. Really, the only regions that aren't are the regions that we just had, not coincidentally, happened to have invaded. You can look at the U.S. and, you know, you look at what production was in 1971, and despite discoveries even in Prudhoe Bay, and production has still declined 2 to 3% per year, no matter how much money we've thrown at it. You know, the overwhelming majority, I don't recall the exact number off the top of my head, but 99% of the world's oil comes from about 50 countries, and the vast majority of those are now past their peak.